Ja, guten Abend. Dobry wieczór. Nicht nur die Sprache ist uns fremd und ich kann so viel Polnisch. Wenn wir uns mit Kunst aus Polen der 70er Jahre, der 2000er Jahre oder auch der polnischen Kunstgeschichte befassen, es ist uns auch die äußerst und heterogene Geschichte dieses Landes meist fremd, ebenso die Kunstgeschichte, die in manchem an deutsche Gotik möglicherweise erinnert, in manchem an italienische Renaissance, französische Salonmalerei und so weiter. Und sich doch aber auch immer wieder charakteristisch davon unterscheidet. Wir arbeiten an der KU jetzt seit einem Semester mit einer komprimierten Seminargruppe am Thema, polnische Avantgarden ist es genannt, und wir sind ständig in der Situation, einerseits, es wirkt schon ein bisschen bekannt, vertraut, und dann ist es aber auch wieder anders. Und das zu fassen ist die große Herausforderung, wenn wir mit Kunst in inter- und transkulturellen Texten umgehen wollen. Die Kunstgeschichte Polens hat auch, was das 20. Jahrhundert betrifft, viel mit den mittel- und westeuropäischen Avantgarden gemeinsam. Und wir wissen, dass die Zentren auch untereinander in Kontakt standen. Nur, ich weiß nicht, oder ich habe eine Vermutung, irgendwie seit dem Eisernen Vorhang, den wir immer noch in unseren Köpfen haben, nehmen wir das, was jenseits des eben Eisernen Vorhangs geschah, auch noch bevor es ihn gab, nicht wirklich wahr. Es hat sich jetzt auch in der jüngeren Forschung so eine gewisse Sprachregelung durchgesetzt, nicht von Mittel- oder West- oder Osteuropa zu sprechen, sondern es einmal mit Central Europe zu versuchen, Zentraleuropa. Es wird nicht wirklich leichter. Also es ist immer wieder fraglich, wo ziehe ich denn jetzt die Grenzen und was zieht denn? Zieht die Religion, zieht die Antike oder zieht die Sprache oder die Geografie etc. etc. Aber was wir einfach auch schon gemerkt haben, wenn wir nur versuchen, mal die Sprache ein bisschen zu verändern oder den Blick auf die Landkarte zu verschieben, tut sich sofort was im Kopf und tut sich auch etwas damit, wie wir die eigene, unter Anführungszeichen, Kunst, die wir meinen zu kennen, sehen und wie wir das sehen, was sich in Polen, seiner Zeit, als Polen auf der Landkarte ja nicht mal existierte, was sich da getan hat. Also wir sind auf einem sehr labilen Terrain. Wir sind auch in jener Situation, was in der Global Art History irgendwie heißt, wir müssen endlich das Denken aufgeben von Zentrum und Peripherie, weil dann weiß man immer, wo das Zentrum ist und alles andere ist dann die Peripherie. Und das, was in der Peripherie ist, ist dann nicht nur anders, sondern irgendwie auch schwächer oder epigonenhaft oder so. Also das ist mit Sicherheit zu verabschieden, also dieses Denken. Es geht eher darum zu schauen, wie schaffen wir die Rahmen, also von Framing ist die Rede, wo sehen wir Kontaktzonen, wo gab es Berührungen und so weiter. Auch wenn wir uns jetzt sehr bemühen, und es ist nicht nur ein Dazulernen, es ist ein Neulernen. Also es ist nicht nur, dass das, was wir wissen, wir jetzt um ABC irgendwie oder dann halt weitere Buchstaben ergänzen, sondern wir müssen unser bestehendes kunstwissenschaftliches Alphabet irgendwie neu strukturieren. Wie gesagt, der eiserne Vorhang, der Iron Curtain in unseren Köpfen, damit verpassen wir ganz, ganz viel. Sowohl für die Zeit der Volksrepublik Polen, also 45 bis 89, das wird Thema des ersten Vortrags oder des ersten Inputs sein, als auch für die Zeit nach der sogenannten Wende 1989, dem gilt dann der zweite Input. Damit möchte ich Ihnen auch die Vortragenden des heutigen Abends vorstellen. Ich mache die Vorstellung jetzt auch auf Deutsch. Die beiden, werden Sie dann gleich hören, sprechen eh wunderbar Deutsch. Sie sind sich auch im Englisch sicherer und wir haben uns so verständigt, dass ich Deutsch rede. Sie verstehen mich, oder? Ja. Der Input wird dann auf Englisch sein und wenn Sie was nicht verstehen, fragen Sie einfach nach. Also das schaffen wir locker. Aber eben die Frage, in welcher Sprache sprechen wir, ist eine, die uns momentan natürlich sehr umtreibt. Englisch ist immer wieder sozusagen der gemeinsame Nenner. Da geht natürlich auch viel verloren, weil doch jede Sprache auch ihre eigene Farbe hat, ihre eigenen Gesetze und manches sich auch nicht so einfach übersetzen lässt. Oder dann muss man wirklich übersetzen. Ich stelle der Reihenfolge der Vorträge oder der Inputs zunächst Carolina Majewska-Güde vor. Hallo. Sie ist freiberufliche Kuratorin und Kunstkritikerin, geboren in Wlocławek, ungefähr, almost, danke. Studierte Kunstgeschichte an der Universität Poznan und Visual Histories am Goldsmiths College in London und promoviert aktuell an der Humboldt-Universität Berlin. Auf Englisch. Ihre Forschungsschwerpunkte gelten Fragen der Methodologie transnationaler und feministischer Kunstgeschichten, also zwei Herausforderungen, Feminismus und transnational. Positionen der osteuropäischen Neo-Avantgarde sowie Fragen der Produktion, Zirkulation und Übersetzung von Wissen mittels Kunst. Ich bin sehr neugierig, wie die Kunst das schafft. Die zweite Vortragende, Theresa Fatzon, arbeitet auch selbstständig als Kunstwissenschaftlerin und Kunstkritikerin. Sie ist in Krakow geboren, das bringe ich über die Lippen. Studierte eine individuelle Fächerkombination in den Geistes- und Sozialwissenschaften an der Universität Warschau und promovierte dort an der Philosophischen Fakultät. Ihre Forschungsschwerpunkte liegen im Bereich der performativen Künste, der Feminist- und Queer-Studies sowie in der politischen Philosophie. Ja, so viel zur Einführung. Wir sind sehr gespannt auf eure Inputs. Ich denke, es wird auch viel zu sehen geben. Also ihr werdet auch Bilder zeigen und wir switchen jetzt auf Englisch.
Guten Abend, vielen Dank for coming. Ich möchte zuerst erklären über meine Sprache. Ich glaube, ich spreche in meiner Präsentation globisch. Das ist die Wahrheit, weil das ist das International English und ich probiere es sehr deutlich sprechen, aber wenn es ist, etwas ist, ist nicht so klar, dann bitte, wir können interaktiv machen und sprechen zusammen und erklären. Ich habe gedacht, am Anfang, ich spreche ein bisschen über Kontext, über politische Situation und Kulturpolitik. Und danach ich zeige ein paar Bilder und dann ich erkläre Situation about feministische Kunst und ja, so es gibt zwei Teile von meiner Präsentation. So now I switch to language which I feel more confident in and my aim was to bring here a topic which would make you more familiar with situation in arts in communist Poland. My main aim was to show that it wasn't a very homogenic period, that also the Iron Curtain was not iron, that there were a lot of connections. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the context and situation with regards to quite paradoxical situation. In the 70s in Poland there were many female artists, very active artists, who were producing art which is retrospectively described as a feminist art. After 1989, a lot of Western museums and collections got interested in this critical art and presented many of these artists in the international blockbuster exhibitions, also in Austria, also in many different countries. But the paradoxical situation is in Poland, and not only in Poland, but in many Eastern European countries, that these female artists very often didn't identify themselves then, and still identify themselves with feminism as a discourse, as a political situation. And I wanted to maybe explain a little bit why. And through this example, show how complex it is to narrate art history, how difficult it is to that it's not enough to add a couple of new names to the Western canon. What we have to do, we have to change paradigm of thinking about the canon, what canon is and how canon is created, and go really deep into context, because just applying certain models from one place with completely different political and economical situation to the another context really doesn't help. So let me read, because I think it will, because we don't have that much time, so I will better read, because I have a tendency for digressions. So I read a little bit about the political situation, then I show you some images. So I will talk about the decade between 1970 and 1980, which was in Poland a time in Polish political and cultural history characterized by relative opening to the West, which fueled proto-consumerist attitudes. After the political crisis of 1968, about which we can talk in detail if you're interested later, so after this crisis and reshuffle within the government, Edward Gierek became a head of Polish Communist Party at the beginning of 1970, at the end of 1970, and the country was gradually de-ilogized. No, I don't know how to. You know what I mean. Like, there was not anymore imposed. The Marxist, the Leninist ideology was not anymore used in a way to justify cultural politics. As a result of this new cultural politics, artistic culture in the 70s functioned relatively freely within the official and alternative infrastructure. It was still limited, controlled, and not stimulated, but the artists, in principle, they could do any form of art they wanted as long as they didn't directly comment on political situations. So there was no problem with making performance art, with making ephemeral art, with making the most extravagant from the point of average citizen art, and this kind of art quite often got even sponsorship from the state. And as long as it wasn't threatening the status quo by commenting on political, it was all, everything goes. So in a way, for that reason, it is not accurate to describe Polish culture in the 70s as this kind of official culture and dissident culture, or at least in terms of art, but because with literature was a little bit different. But in terms of art, we can speak that there was this official culture, which was modernism painting and modernism sculpture, and this was kind of supported by the state, and then no avant-garde culture, artistic culture, which was functioning on the margin of the official system. Sometimes when artists were clever, they got sponsorship, but they could, without any problems, function and produce art which replaced the object with documentation. And at the same time, many galleries were created by artists, many independent galleries. It was a time similar like in the West when conceptual art, May art, Fluxus related projects with their processual character and ephemerality and hybridity were developed. So in a way, this development was parallel. It was at the time when the first kind of feminist or projects which are from this contemporary perspective are called feminist. And this is the big debate, but which this kind of art has developed. So to acknowledge the local specificity, I would like to talk about a couple kind of factors of political situation for or conditions for development of feminist art, which maybe make you more aware about why this paradox of feminist art, which is not identified itself with feminist, exists. So first of all, there was this propaganda of equal rights, so enforced image of the already existing equal rights in Poland. The Polish government policy was to prevent the existence and development of independent feminist or women organization that would prove that women rights in communist country were limited. So in spite of official communist rhetoric, the Polish People's Republic was in fact a very patriarchal Catholic country, a reservoir of traditional values, where the state was upholding the stability of conservative tradition. One of Polish scholars, Anna Markowska, had argued that in communist Poland, artists were considered the guardians of so-called high culture, understood in terms of preservative stability and national tradition. So, moreover, from the 70s, Polish authorities were seeking new legitimization of their power with this new cultural politics, and they were not finding in the communist international history, but it was really kind of move towards national history tradition. So it was kind of strengthening conservative tendencies within the field of official culture. The new avant-garde scene to which feminist art belonged functioned on the margin of this cultural life, but it didn't really differ that much in terms of conservative tendencies. All feminist artists that I will mention, they were all members of male-dominated neo-avant-garde art scene created with the absence of the feminist movement. The presence of female artists with the circle of artistic within the artistic circle were almost restricted always to the so-called significant other of the fellow male artist. Many of the female artists were simply partners of the male star artists. Although in communist Poland women were not completely excluded from the economic power and employment, women were usually working, the status and the function in the society was dependent to a great extent on unpaid work in the private sphere and their roles as mothers and wife. As early as in 1947, the authorities started limiting access to certain professions for women. So if we have a perception of communists like this kind of women on tractors, it was, in case of Polish economic history, first couple of years, and then it very quickly in change, and there was this, since 1953, there was this politics called Polish Wave to Communism, which actually incorporated the idea of the separation of the public and public spheres, preservation of the integrity of the family and traditional gender roles, where the role of women is reduced to reproduction and home caring. So it was very paradoxical situation, because on one hand you had the communism and official rhetoric of equal rights, on the other hand you have a Catholic Church and a very traditional role of women at home, and so you have a double burden. So women had really right to work, but they had obligation to work at home also. So it was very clearly and very strongly Polish way to communism. There is also one more factor worth to consider with respect to feminist art: the lack of political representation of women in the system of power, so in the communist elite. This could not become an object of transformative critique of for the feminist artistic practice. The actual system of power in the 70s, an undemocratic single-party leadership controlled by Soviet Union, could not be challenged or transform through feminist intervention. It was just completely boycotted in a way. So the only sphere of feminist intervention could be a culture, because the actual political, actual economic situation could not be changed through the protest or organization action. The last important thing to know about Polish feminist artists, it's that they work in isolation. They were not, first of all, there was not this feminist art movement, but also the artists who worked within this feminist rhetoric, they didn't work together. There was only one instance of exhibition, but it was already in 1980. But it was the exhibition related to women art without any kind of political statement. The collective identification of women art was endorsed by organizers. Despite this openness to the West, which I mentioned at the beginning, there no text from the field of feminist art writing has been translated to Polish during communism. Also, some scholars point to the fact that the language skills, the fact that everybody, that not everybody learned English. I mean, in middle of 70s it has changed, but it was not so accessible to read in English. They were, of course, critics who read and translate and talk, but it wasn't something like right now, when everybody can have access to literature. So discursive sources of feminism in Poland in the 70s included only text and literary works related to the first wave of feminism, and also included Polish first wave feminist text. And translation of Western canonical second wave feminist texts were limited to Second Sex, published in 72 by Simone de Beauvoir, which was interpreted as a work from the threshold of philosophy and sexuality, but it did not elicit a serious debate at the time. And there was also one anthology, Nobody is Born a Woman, but published only in 1982. But there are two cases of this kind of translation. Okay, so I could go on, but maybe I will just go back to the images. So I will show you three completely different artists, three completely different Polish feminist artists that worked from the end of 60s through the 70s. And first one is Eva Partum. This is her first very early works from 1971. And because I have 40 images, so I will just go through. You familiarize yourself with these images, and then we can go back in the discussion. So Eva Partum was an artist. This is Eva Partum. She is an artist. She's still active. So she was the only one in Poland, and also probably one of the few in Eastern Europe, who identified herself with the F word. So she identified herself as a feminist artist. She wrote manifestos. She spoke about feminist art, and she consciously worked with this problematic, feminist problematic. And she created, this is her most important work from 1974, called Change. It was a change of her career, the path of her career, when she consciously assumed the feminism as a kind of ideological background of her art. She changed half of her face, aged it with the help of makeup artists. It was a performative work in the gallery that she ran. And this was the artwork related to the fact that women value and female artists value are related to their youth and look and body. This is the later work when I will talk. And then she, in 1978, she produced the posters all over Warsaw from this. She used the images from this action from 1974, and she entitled this poster campaign, My Problem is the Problem of a Woman. So it was explicitly feminist work. She extended this work in 1979, and she realized work with the same title, but she used whole her body for this realization, and she, with the use of makeup artists, aged half of her body. And during this talk, during this performance, she talked about feminist problems, and she also quoted some texts by Vali Export and Lucy Lippert just to strengthen her, her argument and show that she's not just merely extravagant, crazy person. She just refers to some existing discourse. This is the work from 1980 showing the alienation. It's not actual photograph. It's a photomontage. called self-identification. It's a self-identification as a woman and as a feminist artist, and also work that kind of shows that she doesn't identify herself with any female roles that she's supposed to assume in the communist country. So this is probably something which you might have seen, because it's very popular work and appears in many exhibitions. This is the performance that she made during the opening of this exhibition, so it's actual photograph. And the explicit work called Women, Marriage is Against You. This is the certificate, because actually a couple of years later she married, and she she realized her marriage, actual marriage, 1985, as a performance, so we can talk about it. And this is a very intensive performance called Stupid Woman. She realized many of five editions of this performance, very aggressive performance, when she spray herself with some Zane, and she's behaving as a kind of hysterical person, fulfilling the perception how male artists perceive the creative female artists at the time. And this is the another artist called Natalia LL. This is a very interesting example. The artist who was familiar with feminism that was developed in the West, because she in 1977 in New York during the stipendium she met many feminist artists, including Caroline Schumann. I never know how to pronounce it, but in a way she was producing explicitly sexual work. This is not her, this is the model, but it's a work on consumption art. And Natalia always treated, she spread information about feminism in Poland, but she always, she never identified herself with the discourse. She was always saying that she knows the feminist objectives, but she's just an artist without the gender, and she used explicit. So you can see it's very explicitly sexual, and at the same time, structure and this is actually the artist in 1977 in New York at some parade. The last artist that I want to talk about briefly, which we can come back to, Maria Pinińska-Beresz. This is the artist that died in 1999, but she was also at the same time in the completely different poetic, realizing works which retrospectively are of course read as feminist artists, as feminist art, but she also didn't use the vocabulary her motivations were very, very akin to the feminist discourse, but she developed all these works in a kind of isolation from the Western feminism. She much later got to know similar works. And for instance, this is a very interesting work from 1972, which has a title, Is a Woman a Human Being? Is a Woman a Human Being? So it's explicitly related to the gender problematic and functioning as an artist in the masculine and very male-dominated art world, because she was actually a sculptor, and at a certain point she decided that she will never make a sculpture which she cannot herself montage and carry, and she started working with light materials. But the last performance of her, 1981, called Washing. She is washing, as you can see, and then she hangs the cloths, and they create the word feminism around this. So this I would like to conclude, and let's talk later about these pictures and about other things. Thank you very much.
Ja, vielen Dank, Carolina, für diesen dichten Input, ein Blick in die Situation Kommunismus Polen der 1970er Jahre, wo man einfach sieht, ja, Kommunismus ist nicht gleich Kommunismus, weder in zwischen den Ländern und auch in den Dekaden. Die spezifische Frage, kann man hier überhaupt von Feminismus sprechen, wo die Anbindung an die westlichen Diskurse einfach so nicht gegeben war, und zuletzt mit drei sehr eindrücklichen Positionen, wo wir dann sicher auch gerne diskutieren möchten. Ich möchte jetzt sofort switchen zum zweiten Input, dann haben wir mal das ganze Material im Raum und dann schauen wir, was wir damit tun. Bitte.
Okay, so I will start directly. Between times of which Karolina was speaking and today, a transformation happened in Poland. So between 1989 and 1991, Polish People's Republic, which was a communist government, changed into the Democratic Republic of Poland. It was generally regarded as time of enforcement of liberal legislation and polarization of social life. However, even today we can look critically at this time of transition as a moment when not everything was covered, not the transition wasn't covered. So in the realm of communist world, the democracy was imposed. And it was a democracy connected with a capitalistic way of governing the economics, which the country wasn't ready for yet, as well as changes in the social and political life of everyday people wasn't ready yet. And especially in case of workers' rights and social rights, this transition didn't go smoothly at all. And one of the most explicit examples of a problematic transition from one to another is concerned with female reproductive rights. And actually, what I wanted to talk about today, because I was asked to talk about the contemporary situation of female feminist artists, and during the change from 80s till 2000s, actually many the critical art happened, which was a period in Polish art where artists were directly criticizing the political and social situation, and many female artists were actively feministic. Just to name a few, Katarzyna Kozyra, Dorota Nieznalska, who else we could, from this period, Alicja Żebrowska, of course, and they were artists who were explicitly feminist and were creating feminist work. But the problem is that the time from 1990s and 2018 till today is whether this feminist art practice did actually change anything in social life. Did they help us to actually regain freedom to enforce feminist changes? And in case of reproductive rights, it is very unfortunately easy to say no, because as I wanted to show first, this is a map of world abortion laws. And we can see Poland very well, even though it's a small country, because it's the only red dot in a green area. So in 1993, in democratic Poland, the legislation was enforced, and it was a legislation which was supposed to standardize the approach to abortion in democratic Poland. It was called the Family Planning, Human Embryo Protection and Conditions of Permissibility of Abortion. And by Polish government and by in social debate, in public debate, it was referred to as abortion compromise. Because as Karolina mentioned, Poland was first under this tension between communist government and Catholic Church, and afterwards it was between Catholic Church and democratic government. And however, it's called abortion compromise between church and more conservative part of the society on the one hand, and the more liberal part of the society on the other, by many female and by pro-choice activists. It's just called anti-abortion law, which it is, because the 1993 legislation allows abortion only in three cases: when when women's life is in danger, when embryo life is in danger, and when the pregnancy is the effect of incest or rape. And over the last 30 years, this legislation was sustained by all subsequent governments, no matter what kind of political agenda they have, either conservative, liberal, situation of women was treated very feral. They were saying that it's not the most important problem for us today. We have to fight with workers' rights, with reprivatization, with reform of health system, and many, many other topics were put into front, and female rights, reproductive rights were put behind, even though as FEDERA, so Federation for Women and Family Planning Organization, says that yearly over 100,000 abortions in Poland are performed, and only a few hundred of them are legal. So there is a gigantic underground abortion system in Poland. Of course, many females just go away and do abortion in Czech Republic, Germany, and other European countries. And even though this legislation was severe enough, in 2016, a proposition by Ordo Iuris, far-right organization in Poland, there was a proposition of further tightening the abortion laws so that it wouldn't be possible in case of congenital disorders of the embryo and in a rape case. And because this is a reality of Poland today, I wanted to show a few examples of how female artists are supporting protests and are supporting social activists and people who are engaged in changing the situation of females in Poland. And when the proposition to further tighten the abortion legislation in 2016 was proposed by Ordo Iuris and it was discussed in Sejm, all over Poland, the protests were organized. Here we can see a photo from one of the like small cities in Poland, Radom. On the other one, we can see a protest in Warsaw. Actually, the photo we can see is from Black Monday. It was not only the protest, it was a strike. So women didn't go to work at that day, and also partners, some of them, their partners didn't, in order to show that they are physically against the legislation, the proposition, because it was in Sejm already. So it was in the lower house of Polish parliament. It was regarded as possibility for the 1994 legislation to be further tightened. Between 2016 and 2018, after the protests, government didn't pass the law, but said that there needs to be new proposition of legislation. And two propositions appeared. One of them was called Let's Save Women, which was a liberal proposition to actually make a legislation similar to what is happening in all over Europe, so until 12 weeks, without asking a question, women can perform an abortion. And the other proposition, which was called Stop Abortion, was a proposition to further tighten the legislation. And what followed, because the Let's Save Women proposition, so liberal one, was not passed, didn't pass the first reading, and the other one, the far-right proposition, did. So what followed in 2018 was, again, a gigantic protest in Warsaw. Actually, I participated in every one of them in Warsaw because that's where I lived at that point. And there were over 55,000 people during that protest. It was really one of the biggest, and it was also the time when in U.S. protests were happening. It was a very global situation. And as for now, the legislation is still read in the lower in parliament, and surveys show that the majority of Poles, over 78% of Poles, are against this abortion, stop abortion legislation. And now I would like to go to examples I was talking about, because feminist artists, of course, their practices are changing what's possible for women. They are using their bodies frequently and doing a lot of work. But this particular examples I'm showing are situation when female artists are doing work for Protestants. So here we can see poster ambulance, so-called. It was created by Marta Frey and Drożyńska, two Polish artists who were basically creating free art for Protestants. So they were, and invited other artists to do it as well. So they were creating banners and putting them online, and everyone could download them and use them on their own and share them and use them in social media and paint them and take on the street and everything. Also, this is an interesting example because there were actually problems with that, with using. This is the iconic solidarity poster by Tomasz Czarnecki from 1989. And here we can see in the original version there is a male, and here we can see female. This is from the first black protest in Warsaw in 2016. Also, in public spaces, there were murals appearing. This is also Marta's Frey project, and it's saying, "I will not give birth as a corpse." And this is in Warsaw, so it is a public space where artists are creating art in order to help Protestants and to shape the event, because we can see umbrellas. Umbrellas were a symbol of a protest. It was accidental. It happened because it was raining very heavily during the protest, so everyone took it out, and it became a symbol of a revolution in Poland. And I think this is an interesting example because artists can change something that is happening, what is a process, into a symbol, into the art, into the visual representation, and then women appear on the street and they can identify with it, they can believe that their message is not only between them, it's being said out loudly, and so on. Here is also in Poznan, in Old Squad, there is a banner of Anna Valentinowicz and Quad, "We refuse service at work and at home. The women's strike continues." So I think the projects of banners and posters can help women in the in-between time. So we have protests, which are events, and we appear en masse and so on, but then is the transition time. We are waiting for the decisions. We don't know what's going to happen. And art and banners can help us to remember that we are still in solidarity, we are still together. Here is another project. It is actually interesting because many events where women could work together and meet and learn something new. This is a project made by Diana Grabowska. It's called Below the Belt. And actually, female met in space and were using traditional crafts like embroidery and knitting. In this case, we can see the chauvinistic quotes. One, the first one is saying, "I think you are on your period." The other one is saying, "The fate of woman is being a mother." And the third one is saying that it's the last moment you can take up upon career, which implies that in a few years you will be too old to do that. So women were meeting, taking these chauvinistic quotes, and then wearing the laundry they made, and taking pictures of them and putting them online, and also sharing the experience of making art together, and then showing what they think about those quotes. Here is also, it's called The Strike Embroidery Occupation, made by Monika Drożyńska in Krakow. And it was a project when women met together and were creating banners for the protest. She designed them, or she designed them with help of the women, and they shared the experience of creating art together and then using it in a manifestation in the strike. Another thing, also many happenings happened. So during the protest, artists came, like performance artists, singers, appeared on stage or appeared in the crowd and were sharing experiences. For example, There was the blue line performance, which was women. There is this ambulance against victim of domestic violence. It's called Blue Line, so women can call and get help when they are subjected to violence. And it was also our government cut donation for this, which was very important because domestic violence is very hard to fight against. And the line was very important. So women would just take this big piece of cloth, which was blue, and walk around the city with it. There was Freedom Disco, so women were dancing together in the city center, and it was also organized by artists. And also, of course, in social media, there was a hashtag created, Black Protest Artists, and people who can have influence and audience in social media were using the hashtag, taking pictures of them. And after protests also, it's not only that artists help protesters, but also the protests influence the art world itself. Between 2016 and 2018 in Poland, there were plenty of exhibitions. So not only artists enter the space of city, of social sphere, but also the protests entered the spheres of gallery spaces. So, for example, this is an example from Poznań. Izabela Kowalczyk created an exhibition about female art connected to patriotism and being Polish female. Here is another example. This is the same exhibition, actually, another view on it. This is also from Poznań, Bad Women exhibition by Krystyna Piotrowska. I think that's the last one. And those are two examples I have pictures of, but there were many exhibitions. There was many discussions about female art, about feministic art. And I think, like, looking past several years, that protests had a big influence on discussion of the gender balance and gender imbalance in the many different spheres, and also in the sphere of art world. And so my thesis is that both social reality, both protests and political legislation influence the art world, and artists, female artists, are just part of the society. They are female, they are subjected to the violence in the same way every other woman is, and they use their means of expressing rage, fury, or power. And I think this is very helpful. This is not the most important work, because I think the most important work is done by women themselves when they live their lives and manage to work and to have families and to be happy also with what they have. And the biggest work is done by social activists and politicians who are trying to enforce different legislation. But without this visual content, without the help of experience of creating together, for example, it would be very hard to believe in the power of protests when they are not happening, when we are waiting for a change. And I think these visual identifications also help us to understand what's happening. Many artists create critical art, which is trying to position what's happening in a broader context, to narrate what's happening here and now. And I think this is also very interesting when we think about 80s and 70s, and they were producing different art or same artist, because actually Ewa Batum, which Monika, which Karolina was talking about, also created a new work when the protests were happening. So we can see same artists from 70s doing still feministic work now because it's needed, because actually in case of female reproductive rights, not so much have changed, unfortunately. We can only hope that it will get better in the future, and I don't want to end up in this negative approach, but we still have a lot to fight for. Thank you.
Ja, vielen Dank, Theresa, für diesen zweiten Input, der uns in die Zeit nach der Wende führt, wo wir eben jetzt so mit einigen Hinweisen eben doch auch gesehen haben, so einfach oder schön oder easy ist es jetzt auch nicht. Und jetzt noch einmal fokussiert auf die Frage von Frauenrechten. Ich denke, wir haben jetzt a lot to discuss, also viel zu viel natürlich für einen Abend. Ich möchte jetzt selbst schon mal eine erste Frage stellen und dann spiele ich auch gleich ins Publikum. Wir müssen um 21 Uhr spätestens hier schließen und schauen wir mal, wie weit es uns bis dahin bringt. Meine Frage wäre jetzt eigentlich an beide. Also es ist für, sage ich einmal, uns westliche Kunstrezipientinnen ja schon einmal beeindruckend zu sehen, welche starke Positionen es hier gegeben hat in den 70er Jahren und wie viel Widerstandspotenzial es jetzt gibt. Und auch dieses, ja, wie vital an sich die Kunst sich hier zu Wort meldet. Wie wird das rezipiert? Also du hast ja ein bisschen angesprochen, dass ja, Kunst im öffentlichen Raum und Galeriekunst, hier waren wir eher im Bereich der Galeriekunst. Also wie ist die Resonanz? Vielleicht von beiden eine Antwort. Mhm.
Ich probiere auf Deutsch zu antworten. I'm shy, no, I can't do that. So in terms of art in, that was created in 70s and 80s, because there was no discursive sources, no texts, and artists themselves had to make an effort to produce context, to produce texts. So that's why it was, the reception was often misreception, misunderstanding. And the first artist that I was talking about, Eva Partum, she produced a lot of manifestos, and often when this art from 70s is shown now within the blockbuster exhibitions, the viewer encounter only images. But in case of this art, this discursive part, the text, the presentation, manifestation, dialogue was very important, because it was the part of introducing this art to the audience, not even to the broad audience, but to the art circle. So the taking care of the reception was the implicated in these artworks for the artists that they identified themselves with feminism, like Eva Partum. But the other artists were often they were neglected for creating this kind of art, or they were, if they did not play the game and not use the rhetoric of this universal art of, they were often dismissed. So now it's a little bit different, no?
Now it's different, but I think that most interesting topic would be the time between, so 1990s actually, because it was the time where critical art happened, and it was art which was explicitly feminist. And actually, it was completely not understood. It was neglected by Polish cultural sphere. Actually, artists were sued. The exhibitions were closed. It was very important for Polish culture because there was a lot of discussions around art. And art had actually been political in a way because it raised controversies. It's explicitly been political. It wasn't understood at all. And in two female artists were sued after they created their work, Dorota Nieznarska and Katarzyna Kozyra. But today, for example, artists, feminist artists, are understood by the art world, pretty as everywhere else, but the art world is like separated a little bit from social life. It's very exclusive, yeah. So I would say it changed in terms of artistic productions and feminist voice. Also, like, a lot of happened in terms of in Poland and in critical, in words of art critic and gender studies and feminist studies. A lot of happened here. So feminism itself, it's being better really understood, at least in cultural words, because conservative words, which is very strong in Poland, is still not really, didn't catch up with whole feminism thing, but other than that, it changed.
Ja, ich möchte jetzt auch gleich ins Publikum öffnen. Ich würde vorschlagen, dass wir zunächst beim sozusagen Thema bleiben, also noch einmal Rückfragen zu dem, was zur politischen, gesellschaftlichen Situation ausgeführt wurde, wenn es da Fragen gibt, oder auch zu den einzelnen künstlerischen Positionen oder Aktionen. Wir können auch nochmal zurückswitchen, wenn nötig. Und im zweiten Teil dann eventuell auch noch etwas weiter aufmachen, das Spektrum überhaupt Kunst, kritische Kunst in Polen nach 45. Ich meine, wir haben das Glück, heute hier mit zwei Expertinnen ins Gespräch kommen zu können und ich denke, das sollten wir nützen. Und scheuen Sie sich nicht, auch dumme Fragen zu stellen. Wir sind einfach dumm, wenn es um die polnische Kunst geht. Also.
Es geht um die Rolle der katholischen Kirche. In den 70er Jahren hat die katholische Kirche war eher in der Opposition und hat sehr viele Künstler sogar unterstützt. Und wir können noch darüber diskutieren, inwieweit, aber im Generellen gab es immerhin Organisationen, katholische Organisationen, die Künstler unterstützt haben. Wie ist das heutzutage? Sie haben schon erwähnt, die Frauenrechte werden dann, natürlich die Politik der polnischen Regierung ist eindeutig. Die katholische Kirche mischt sich sehr ein, also mischt sich ein in die Politik. Und wie reagieren die Künstler und Künstlerinnen auf das, was momentan in Polen passiert?
I will speak English. It's okay, no? In the 80s, a lot of artists shone in the churches. It was the only place when they could show their art. But already there was this third way. There were artists who didn't want to play the game of being associated with the official regime, neither with the Catholic Church. And I would say that much of this art, which we talk about, the critical art, the art full of anger and rage, it's kind of inherited a lot from this 80s when the artists were searching for the third space, for more left wing but not communism, for breaking up with this kind of there is no alternative, there is black and white, there is Catholicism or there is no ethical and no because in a way the Marxism and the way of thinking more left was kind of compromised through the regime, but at the same time everybody was aware that the party is just empty rhetoric. There is nothing there, which would be not nothing completely, because there were some social projects. But so I think I would say that the art that we are talking about, which looks a little bit even like agit prop art of this contemporary feminist artists that participate in the protests, is very much kind of the art which gets out of this binary between government and since the election in Poland there is no binary, because the Catholic Church and government is a one political organization. So this is my answer.
Yeah, I totally agree. So the first thing would be that for some artists actually church was a place of freedom before the change, but afterwards it's not any alternative. Right now, church is explicitly supporting the conservative right-wing explicitly nationalistic government, and otherwise also like the government is saying that church is part of our way of thinking. So I don't see here any sphere of expressing artistic or political social freedom for artists, because it's not like that anymore, even if it was. But I think the tradition for artists whom we are talking about is more the third realm thing from the 70s. So they don't really ensue from the artists who were using the space of church as a place of freedom in the communist era.
Danke schön.
Okay, thank you very much for these interesting papers and these very interesting inputs. And I'm very interested in the term feminism. Feminism as a kind of global discourse, as you also mentioned. And then on the other hand, feminist art also as a kind of global discourse. But I think if we take into account other regions and non-Western regions, it's a kind of, there are some problems discussing this term feminism at all. And I think you mentioned it very interesting. In the 70s, I think you mentioned that artists would not identify with this feminist discourses from the West because of lacking translations and books, and there was no real adaptation. And then later in the 90s, these feminist ideas were much more present in Poland. Yeah? And so these discussions remind me somehow at other discussions from artists in the Middle East, very similar discussion, even they we have another political and religious context. But there is a kind of refusal of feminist ideologies that artists think they are shaped only in the West. And they also reject this idea of a global sisterhood. This is also a kind of utopic idea because women have other problems in different countries, and the Western discourses, Western feminists and also feminist artists from the Western countries, I think they neglected these differences of womanhood in general. Yeah? And so I'm interested in the question if the kind of feminist art is established in the Poland or Polish art history, in the anthologies or in the literature, in the 70s, or is it the term that was shaped in the 90s, and is it a kind of localized practice in Poland, yeah, with some specificities? Yeah,
I think it is very problematic because it's being imposed post factum on art history. Some art historian, I think Kowalczyk is doing it. She's not even using the feminist, but she used to use the term critical art. So the art which is critical towards the system or the imposure of female obligations and so on and so on. So it didn't. It was very, as you said, also for Poland in the 90s, it came together with consumption culture, with capitalistic culture. So the second wave of feminism is very problematic even for Western culture right now, and it was, Polish artists were also critical towards it. So I don't think it's like it's used right now, the term, but it's used toward the art practices which are feminist.
I in my practice, I just completely dismiss the question, not your question, but this question of whether we're supposed to identify it as a feminist, because the feminist is plural, first of all. There is no feminist. We talk feminist, but let's talk feminisms. Let's talk situated feminisms. And now we can talk, when we clear this terrain. Because the question, are these artists feminist, implies, are these artists Western feminists? So no, they are not Western feminists. But are these artists feminists, situated feminists in this kind of circumstances that I try to bring? Yes. Some of them, as I said, identify themselves with the feminist problematic explicitly and use the word. But this word has also history within the first wave of feminism, with emancipation. It's not necessary kind of in the matter of circulation of some literature, but each country has a history of emancipation, suffragettes, of women also in 70s. This was not, you could read this text, and also it wasn't complete desert in terms of conscious of the fighting of women's rights. So this is also important. So I would say that the very question has to be extended to precise to talk. And funny thing is that, for instance, the black protest and use the black umbrella is for me fun, interesting, because Polish suffragettes also use the black, maybe not black, but use umbrellas for their protests, because when they demanded voting, they stand in front of the government building and hit the umbrellas on the pavement. So it has a root, it's a tradition. We always have to go somewhere and be conscious that there are local very long tradition of women's struggle literature that dealt with it, and it's always kind of related. But first exhibition which was explicitly feminist and gathered feminist produced within this feminist discourse was realized in Poland in 1991. It was the exhibition that they were earlier exhibition, but this was exhibition that shown only female artists in the so it was this essentialized, like, let's show the female artists first, but the art history, in terms of art history, we can pinpoint where the feminist art history started. Yes, we can show it. It was 1991. But with feminist art, this kind of local, I would say that it was present much earlier, and yeah, it's a matter how you ask.
Okay.
I'm really interested, and I also would like to comment a little bit about your idea of the feminist art in the 70s in Poland. Yeah. And my question would be, is it more the question that a Western history tried to pick out some persons or artists and made them part of the Western art history, like Eva Bartom or Alina Shabotchnikov, etc.? Or do you think the shift should be made that the people in Poland or in Czechoslovakia or Hungary should make their history themselves? Yeah, is this what you're urging? Is this what you're wanting to stress? Yeah, that you have the idea that the people in like Vienna or Germany or Paris, just picking some of these pictures out of a context without really understanding the situation?
No, I would like to stress that this artist never felt, because these artists relate themselves to avant-garde art, let's say, and then they create neo-avant-garde. And the avant-garde was per se implicitly international art movement. These artists never felt not part of Western, in a way, West in terms of philosophy or whatever thinking. The artists, the artists in the Eastern Europe, they're in communism. In their mind, they were part of neo-avant-garde art movement. But what I suggest after 1989, there was this tendency of rediscovery, and very often the narratives are simplified with this discourse of rediscovery and that something that disappeared. No, these practices never disappeared. They were always there. These artists are actually still active, and I'm a little bit trying to maybe, because the talk was so short, but I think we should change the paradigm of thinking of the canon. We could use these artists and their practices to pluralize the way of thinking about things instead of just simply inscribing their practices to the very already known and accepted narratives. You know, just to use this material to open, not to just incorporate, to go deep, not only to the, to go deeper to the local context. I don't have any expectations from any institutions for that. I just think that we should all talk, and we should exchange, and we should read, and then it's more interesting than saying, this artist looks like this artist, so probably this is what she meant. Yes, she, on certain level, it's all about female liberation. But for me, it's getting interesting when I get to know actually what was the conditions of creating this piece and what was actually maybe not in artist's mind, but what was the social structure that produced this piece, and what did it mean to this lonely artivist to produce this and be dismissed and be treated like very often hysterical, crazy woman, no? Without this international feminist movement to support them.
No. Hier würde ich auch gerne anschließen, also so in dieser Frage, ja, westliche Kunstgeschichtsschreibung, landeseigene Kunstgeschichtsschreibung, Künstlerkontakte, Nichtkontakte und so weiter. mich beschäftigt immer wieder die Frage Eva Partum Valley Export. Ja? Also da gibt es dermaßen viele Parallelen. Die Arbeit mit dem Körper, die Arbeit im öffentlichen Raum, die Arbeit mit Sprache, das Intermediale etc. und nahezu zeitgleich. Kannten die sich damals, also inzwischen sicher, aber gab's da Kontakte oder ist das doch sehr unabhängig voneinander entstanden?
Until 1979, 78, there was no, Eva Partum didn't have participated in any exhibitions with Valley Export or didn't have any kind of documentations, but she used Valley Export text in one of her performances. So there were, there was consciousness. They couldn't see, you know, it wasn't so accessible, but there were some circulation and distribution. So it was known to her, but only around 1978, because there was one particular catalog that circulated in Poland, and then. But you can pinpoint exactly, and I think always I understand this that way, that this women who, like Eva Partum, who produced this very confrontational art, like art which is strong and which make people angry, and so she used this word of Valley Export or Lucy Lippert in her performances to make her to contextualize her action as art in a way, because it could be perceived also like some kitsch or something. So referring to some another, it wasn't the method that I think it's necessary a Valley Export. It was important that they are another creative female artist who are doing similar kind of work. So I'm not the only one.
Es könnte ja auch die andere Richtung sein, dass Valley Export Eva Partum kannte. Weißt du da was?
Nein.
Ja, danke für den Abend. Ich habe in den 70er Jahren, Ende der 70er Jahre in Polen studiert und habe eigentlich sehr viel profitiert, gerade von Avantgarde. Also ich bin aus diesem eher sehr grauen Linz dorthin gekommen damals. Meine Frage ist jetzt, Sie sprechen so von diesem Einfluss, den feministische Kunst, also so pragmatisch direkt in die Gesellschaft hat. Passiert das innerhalb vom Kunstmarkt oder außerhalb oder nebenbei? Oder wie schaut das jetzt aus? Die Zeiten haben sich sehr geändert, wie man Kunst wahrnimmt, oder?
Ja, ich habe nur fast alle verstanden. Möchte man mich sicher machen. So you asked what kind of influence the state of art is, like the...
You were showing us so impressively how artists play a role in society, in Polish society today. And I'm asking, I see pictures from the art shown in galleries. I'm asking the impact of the art market in this situation right now.
In art market.
No, what is the role the art market is playing there?
In social life in Poland or?
For the arts and for the...
Okay. So... you are asking what kind of role in the fact that the art is visible now plays art market, right?
Yes, yeah. I think that's how we
do you want to answer?
Experience art nowadays.
Vielleicht fragen wir noch mal rück. Sie sagen, Sie haben Ende der 70er Jahre in Polen studiert. Wo?
In Łódź.
Wie haben Sie es damals erlebt?
Naja, da ist sehr viel einfach, wie man halt so sagt, im Untergrund passiert. Da waren irgendwelche Termine, irgendwo ist man hingegangen und es ist einfach sehr viel Spannendes passiert und dann diskutiert. Aber ich frage einfach, ja, wie finanzieren sich die feministischen Künstlerinnen heutzutage? Oder wie werden sie wahrgenommen oder wie werden sie repräsentiert?
Also sozusagen die Frage damals, ein vitaler Untergrund, wie ist das heute? noch Untergrund oder öffentlich und inwieweit integriert in den Kunstmarkt? Ist es so? So, yeah, the situation in the 70s and now, and the role of artists in the public and in the art market.
So a comparison. So just today, this is why I wanted to show the exhibitions themselves, because I think institutions, those are photos from exhibition made in public institutions.
So state institutions.
Yes, city institutions in that case, but in Warsaw also, and public in institutions like Museum of Modern Art, where exhibitions about women in history, women rights. I would say it influences a lot, because first it states the question of history, of engaged art, not only in case of a women's right, but also in influence of art in social life. But yeah, I think both private and public institutions are recognizing the need, because they... We still can see this trend today to be politically on the date. So art want to follow what's happening in the social life. And many temporary exhibitions are trying to comment on, to show how artists aren't outside of a society, as they are part of it. And I think in that case, especially in big cities in Poland, it is visible very much.
So exhibitions like this are funded by nationalistic cultural state money.
Some of them, yes, but and this is interesting, because it shows how complex the situation is also, because state is not really, this is seen mostly by people who are not conservative. So this like the public spaces also in Poland are in cultural spaces, are frequently visited by people who are liberal, who are living in big cities, who are not conservative, who are not supporting the government. So
it's also important to say that it was the city gallery, and most all the Polish big cities are still governed by the previous neoliberal politicians. So the local government, and so people who distribute money for the culture in the cities are not from the same party that rules the country. So it's like, see. But also I wanted to say that all the Polish state culture institutions, important institutions, a part of one, are run by women right now. And I mean, it's just an anecdote and doesn't matter really. I mean, it's good, but this is the current situation. So it's not so black and white, and all the big change, all the structural changes always take time. And I think the tendency is like very bad right now. But right now you still can show things in the institutions, because we have a situation that it's not, the money, it's not completely distributed only to one side, but the huge amount of money goes now to other organizations. And so the tendency is, if it's going to be like that for another couple of years, there will be no such exhibitions in public museums. But still they are. Yeah,
only in recent years, like it was first the right government was taking the social sphere, and it's taking the art and higher education right now. So it's already on. We will see how long does it take. The directors of institutions are actually being taken off as we speak. So it's unfortunately we're not headed towards a good direction. But yeah.
Okay, I have another question about representation of Polish artists in a transnational, international sphere. Because here, for example, to be localized a bit, we have the chance to visit, for example, the Vienna Contemporary International Art Fair, where especially Eastern European countries are represented, and a lot of galleries of Poland, of big cities. And you can, you can learn a bit, or you visit seminars by Monika Leisch-Kiesel here in Linz. Yeah, it's another possibility to get some deeper insight. Yeah. But in general, I would be interested, how do you, what do you think about the situation of the representation of Polish artists in an international sphere? Are there some icons, constructions of a kind of art history, some representations you would not agree with, some narratives you go not conform, and are they present in the global sphere? And maybe another question, what about the diaspora situation of Polish artists living abroad, and are they connected with artists living in Poland? Yeah.
I think that this kind of contemporary art, it really described by somebody as cosmopolitan, transnational art, and I think the many artists study in different places, so this based in counts, not the nationality, because it's if you find yourself successful in some contemporary art center, your nationality really doesn't play the role. I think right now we people produce art in a certain idiom which is understandable globally, and I would say that for contemporary artists, their passport of course matters in terms of edges of European Union or this kind of things with privileges and financing system, but it's an art which is understand, which is understood, and which is rooted in this contemporary experience of the big city, basically, I would never say that it's just against my personality to be angry at some narrations. Or this is not the way how I look at it.
By the artists themselves, but we had a discussion about the art market. What are they doing? Are they trying to tell a kind of Polish art history, the representation in international exhibitions? And I think it's another thing how artists would represent themselves or how they are represented for an international audience. Yeah. So this was my question.
I think it's similarly different to have expected, because there is this system of this biennales and this indocumented, and so you cannot speak about within this about this national narratives anymore. For my perspective, it's really more about your situation in the global north or in the global south or in the margins of the you have access, you are from Montenegro or in you cannot travel, or these problems are still of course present, I'm not neglecting them, but it's more about the situatedness in the relation to the centers, not that much about particular nation. And I think this is present in the practice, of course, of artists, but maybe you want to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, but in case of art market, it's also about just selling art. So many artists are just popular, and they gained popularity, like Polish artists who are popular abroad, gained popularity in past several years, and government cannot really change it right now. So if their art is popular in itself, they will be presented in art first and so on. And yeah, and in case of younger artists who are now trying to create art and so on, I think it's very hard for government to narrate the art outside of country, because artists are very international and the art market had changed. I think many of us, like my generation and maybe people who are similar age, were always thinking that this problem of borders, of nationality, is something that will be gone by some point, that in Europe and abroad we will be like more showing like similarities and sharing experiences, not really showing national art or doing so. I don't see that happening in the young generation, and I don't see that Poland getting more conservative is having any direct influence of people working abroad and so on. So.
Eigentlich ein schönes Schlusswort. Gibt's noch Anmerkungen oder Fragen?
Nicht, dann würde ich hier schließen. Nochmal vielen, vielen Dank für die Inputs und die tolle Diskussion. Es gibt heute Abend hier noch die Möglichkeit, die Bar ist offen, habe ich gehört. Ich habe auch im Café Meier einen Tisch reserviert, falls ein paar noch so richtig diskutieren möchten. Also wir sind auf jeden Fall dort. Es geht auch ein bisschen weiter. Es ist morgen im Rahmen meines Seminars, morgen Nachmittag an der KU Linz, also in der Bethlehemstraße, werden die beiden uns auch entsprechende Inputs, eben ähnlich wie heute, aber tiefergehend zur Kunst der 70er, zur Kunst der 2000er Jahre. Also es ist im Rahmen einer Seminarveranstaltung, aber falls hier jemand neugierig geworden ist, herzlich willkommen. Und Mittwoch früh machen wir auch an der KU in der Bethlehemstraße ein Breakfast International, haben wir es genannt. Also da gibt es dann auch Kaffee. Und wir kriegen Informationen zur universitären Situation, zu Forschungszentren in Polen. Also falls Sie da neugierig sind, ebenso herzlich willkommen. Dann nochmals vielen Dank und einen schönen Abend. Danke.